Warning, this is a horror movie podcast. It contains adult themes and adult language. Also, spoiler alert, please listen at your own risk.
Hi, this is Stuttering John Melendez from The Howard Stern Show. And for some really stupid reason, you're listening to the Mobile Horror Companion. Great name for a podcast, morons.
Perfect. The this. Perfectly fine mobile horror companion. If those of you that are into podcasts like to listen to that kind of stuff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mobile Horror Companion. My name is Carlos Danger, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Brian Spears. Hello, Brian.
Hello, hello.
So today we're going to talk about Godzilla versus Kong. Is that what this movie's called? It's not King Kong versus Godzilla, or it's not Godzilla versus King Kong. I think it's technically Godzilla versus Kong. Brian, can you think I'm right there? I don't even know.
Yeah, I do. Because all the other ones are King Kong versus Godzilla. Like, I think this is the first time Godzilla's put first.
And they cut out the king, I guess, to be edgy. That's marketing for you. Godzilla versus Kong. It's probably indicative of what the entire movie is. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they're talking about. Look, we got to drop the Kong. We got to give Godzilla top billing here. And away we go. So, I mean, it came out I know a couple of weeks ago, everybody was all going gaga over the Snyder cut of whatever of Super Friends, which I just didn't give a crap about. But I gotta say, I was legitimately interested, like leaning forward, I guess, to watch this movie. And I kind of like the fact it was released on HBO or HBO Max or whatever the hell it was, because I probably wouldn't have seen it in a theater. So, you know, it's a movie you can sit your son down with and try to force him to watch it and all that good stuff. And that's what I did. So did you have any expectations, Brian, of this movie going into it?
I actually watched Skull Island last week or a week and a half ago, which I actually love.
Oh, see, I thought that was terrible.
Oh, no, I think that's, I don't like any of the Godzilla stuff. I don't like Godzilla movies.
Any of them going back to like 1942.
I mean, they're fine as like when we were kids, those have a little bit, but I mean, in the sense that, you know, yeah, I watched them. I mean, I didn't love them. No, I like the 76 King Kong and Kong Skull Island. I freaking love Skull Island. It's such a bad movie. It's so good.
Yeah, the thing that gets me about Skull Island is that was a movie that I bought into the hype. I was like, oh my God, they're making like a serious King Kong movie. It's going to be an action movie, because like the Peter Jackson one had potential, but then it's like you watch that movie now.
That was too big.
It doesn't hold up. The CGI in parts is embarrassing. The performances are, you know, it's not, it's at the end of the day, it's not a good movie, you know, and Naomi Watts dancing for King Kong. A lot of that movie doesn't work. So I thought Skull Island, it seemed like they were going to just be this like mean and lean King Kong movie. But it's, I don't know. It's weird that's a bizarre movie.
Well, all right. What's happening with all these new movies is they need them to all connect, because again, all right, I love the 1976 King Kong, but yes, if you go back to the original, of course, you know, but there's that whole where they fight the dinosaurs and the Peter Jackson one did it, the Kong Skull Island, the whole thing about the whole other monsters that he's protecting. I could watch anything with that Wiggum guy, Shane Wiggum, and you know, what's his name? Sam Jackson being overly like the worst I've ever seen him, like being so over the top that like he's winking at us all. Like, I'm just going to play this guy as crazy as can be. And I'm going to make Marlon Brando look like a fucking, preschool kid, you know, like
it's a comedy. The movie's essentially a comedy.
And I just thought the ape stuff in that, like, at least maybe it was more justified. I was looking forward to this movie in the sense that, hey, I have HBO Max. awesome. I'm going to watch this movie. Again, I don't think I would have rushed out to see this in the theater.
Right.
Because I think by the title, you sort of know what this movie is.
That's what it is. Although, yeah, yeah. And like Skull Island, you know, it's still better than the new Godzilla movies that have come out. Like that first Godzilla movie with the Bryan Cranston cameo, yeah. That is boring ass movie. I mean, yeah. There's just, it takes forever for Godzilla to do anything. I skipped the next one with the Stranger Things. I just was like, I can't sit through that again. I'm not going to invest myself in this other Godzilla movie.
Same one.
Well, maybe they can, right. And they do. At least Skull Island was, you know,
no,
I watched
Skull
it.
Island. The
But I'm saying King of the Monsters, I think, was the name of the second new Godzilla movie versus Skull Island. Skull Island, I think, is more entertaining than those first two Godzilla movies, but it's still not a good movie in my opinion. So I thought
it's not a good movie, dude. It's not. It's but I would rather watch that than.
All the Justice League.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I guess I was looking at this like, to me, this movie is no different than one of those superhero movies. And it's really become that way of making a movie has taken over. It's like you had mentioned during your superhero thing last time. You know, Scorsese was right. Like, you know,
it's
he was
not
right.
Cinema.
And,
yeah.
And this is not cinema because no one's thinking this again. This was a superhero movie.
Right. Yeah, and just the whole it's like they overplot them. Like I just kept thinking
way
to myself,
too much plot, man. In this movie, in Godzilla vs. dude,
yeah,
so hard that I will. Here's the thing, dude. I legitimately was trying to pay attention to the finer plot points because my nephew came in and said, "Hey, King Kong's the last one of his kind." My friend told me that, and we'll figure it out in this movie. So he was asking me a lot of questions. A, because they just babble. Like, it's literally the humans in this movie are to move a plot that you probably didn't even need to put this plot in there.
That's what I thought. Like, I kept...
Why did you have to go to Middle Earth or Hollow Earth?
Hollow Earth. None of it. It was just insane. And I had my 10-year-old watching it with me, and I kept pausing it, and I would try to explain to him, because he was like, why are they doing that? And I would try to explain to him why they were doing that, and I was just like... It's kind of like when I watch the Suicide Squad with them. I'm like, don't even worry about it. It really you don't feel dumb because you don't understand, because none of this is necessary. But eventually King Kong and Godzilla are going to fight. It was annoying. I don't know why they feel the need to do that to sort
of overdo it. But also, look, you know, it's a Godzilla movie. It's a King Kong movie. The billionaire is a bad guy. The billionaire who makes something that we all think is helping the world.
But okay, so like, there's like whoever that was. I guess I should bring up the because he's a really good actor.
He was that guy's a really good actor because he was in the Hateful Eight. He's Bob.
Yeah, let's see. It's not. He's not Alexander. What's
his
name?
He's Damien
something. Blood. He is. There's Julian Dennison. I don't even. Oh. Okay. Walter Simmons. I don't know how to say that word. Bashir. I don't know how to say that word. Yeah. Everybody knows who he is. But I felt like, all right, there he's supposedly the bad guy, but I didn't really, what was he doing that was so bad?
I don't know. He made a metal Godzilla. I don't know.
He was I'm gonna fight that Godzilla.
Sorry.
I was sort of on his side because it's like, yeah, you should probably have a backup in case Godzilla decides. I mean, it's Godzilla. He's this ancient monster who can destroy an entire city and he's unstoppable. Maybe you do need to have some type of option in case he gets out of control. The guy seemed to make a lot of sense to me. I never understood why, like, he's the bad guy.
But again, it's just that simple. He's the bad guy. Like,
he's in charge.
He went into it so much that he, like, again, also, why is there a goddamn 11-year-old kid walking through a government or just, a private-owned, like, facility making all this kind of, like, how does that happen? Like, all
right. Right. In that movie, they have the ability to make a Mecha Godzilla. They make a giant robot Godzilla. They have hijacked the brains of these other...
But QAnon and a girl can walk in there, and a little girl can walk in there.
Yeah, but that's my point. They have all this. They have all this technology, but they don't have any video cameras in any of their hallways. It just was. It was totally ridiculous. But even like putting that aside, I mean, I don't know. I do like the fact that King Kong, it's his movie. I mean, spoiler alert if you didn't see it. Yeah. It's King Kong. King Kong is the main character in the movie. Godzilla gets even though he gets first billing in the title, he's definitely a supporting character in this. He just kind of swims around and shows up.
He's a plot device, really.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I do like the fact that they've made, you know, Kong is sort of expressive, and I like the fact that the CGI at this point, you get an idea of him as a character, but he's just this big, stupid, hulking, not stupid, but he's just hulking ape. Like, I was impressed by that. But I mean, what is he, you know, what do they do with him? I don't know. They put him on a ship again. They fly him around a little bit. You know, he does some parkour. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's an entertaining movie. I guess that's what I have to say. It's, if you sit through it, go ahead, experience it. You know, it's entertaining. You know, the fights are, I thought that, you know, when they actually fight is pretty good.
It's awesome. Can I just say one other thing that maybe bothers me? Maybe this is why the Godzilla movie part of it really didn't hit me. I mean, I know there's massive devastation, and I guess they were, you know, I don't know where exactly they were, because I might have dozed off.
They're in like Japan or China or something like that. I don't know,
know any of those people there.
No,
like, so it's faceless, like the city is destroyed. Now maybe because, hey, Godzilla, you know, I remember it more, you know, it took over Tokyo, but you saw the people running, and you saw, you know, the devastation hit the people in the town. Like,
right.
At that end of that battle, it was just cool to see them punching each other, screaming at each other. But then if you really thought about it, again, thought about what's happening in the scene, literally, like, buildings are coming down, like, people are, like, but I didn't care about any of that. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
those original, like, King Kong, the very first one, 1933, whatever it was, and the first Godzilla, they're, what makes them scary, I remember seeing them as a kid, was just that, because, you know, they're like, you know, King Kong grabs a subway thing, and he doesn't really mean to kill people, but he's killing all these innocent people. Yeah, this is just gets rid of all that, which is, it's sort of annoying, and it's the cynical side of me, because in those, like, Toho 1960s era, early 70s era Godzilla movie, they'd always sort of, like, clear the population away. It was sort of understood from what I remember, and I could be wrong, because I haven't watched those movies since I was a little kid. But it was almost like they were fighting the population somehow was able to get away. They'd always be on the outskirts watching these two guys duke it out, you know, Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah. Style. Usually the movie was the one element trapped that has to get to safety. You know what I mean? Somebody didn't get out in the nick of time, and they're moving, you know, out.
Yeah. This implies that millions are dead.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I read this in a review, and it did stick in my, like, how big is King Kong? King Kong is like the size of a skyscraper, and then he's small, and then, like, when they drop him off.
Trivia, like, they said at one point, maybe it was in Skull Island, he was still growing. Okay, and that was in 1973.
But in the movie, it was like he seemed to be different sizes depending on where he was. You know, that was confusing me. Like, he's one size on the ship.
I think that little girl that does the sign language is really a lot taller than we think. She's a lot older and a lot taller than we think.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know where, like, that was bizarre. And then the Twitter exploded with Millie, whatever her name is, from Stranger Things. You know, people are like, whenever her squad is on the screen, how the plot just comes to an absolute halt. And it's true. I mean, why? I don't understand why she's in it. The whole subplot isn't needed of her. And it's the podcaster, the crazy podcaster. Yeah. Who is like, I mean, it's so ridiculous, because he's like, I'm exposing all these secrets. And then he's like, he's pretty much open about who he is. Yeah. Like, why would he continue to podcast?
He's recording in his car and then walks into work.
Yeah, he's just like, here I am, like, at like, my job. Yeah, that was really awful.
Maybe he's in one of those other movies, though. I think he's in, like, he's a returning character.
Oh, is he? I didn't. Yeah, I guess I
again.
That.
I don't know if I. I guess I didn't see the Millie. I thought the Millie Bobby Brown and the. I thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I no, she's in the
Walter
second
White
one.
Was her dad?
Yeah, I don't know. No, her dad was. I think her dad was Friday Night Lights, who has like a cameo in this. But yeah, I don't know. And I guess.
Here's the other thing. This was. I'm picking on the plot. I am. Again, I did enjoy the fighting, or anytime, you know, as much as I hated Hollow Earth, like when he's beating up a creature, that was awesome.
It was cool. Yeah. Yeah. He tears something's head off.
I wanted
off.
To like this more, maybe because the director was sort of a horror guy, this Adam Weingart guy. I don't know him, but I have friends that did his movies. We, he directed something on VHS. Like for a year there, we might have ran in the same circles per se. He did a bunch of earlier horror movies. He did this awesome movie called A Horrible Way to Die that really like has a very unknown cast. I mean, now they're a little bit more known, but it is a really good movie. But he got known for like You're Next or The Guest. You know, he eventually did the remake of Blair Witch, which, you know, I wasn't exactly a huge fan of.
Oh, no.
But
kidding.
This, I wanted, and, you know, he's rumored his next is to do a reboot with the original cast of Face Off. And maybe a Thundercats movie, which I don't know if I give two craps about. But I don't, you know, it was nice to hear like a guy that literally like, you know, I'm not saying I don't know him at all, but he's a guy that I could have worked with, if he you know what I'm that, trying to
yeah,
say.
Yeah. Did and he now work he's doing on Glass huge, Eye Pick stuff?
Like he worked with like Larry did a bunch of movies with him. He worked like I did a Joe Schwamberg movie and he knows Joe Schwamberg. He was really good friends with like Ty West. Okay. Like I never worked or don't know him. I think he's from the Midwest, but you
I just
know,
looked him up on Wikipedia. Apparently he's from Tennessee. Oh, his first feature, the horror comedy Homesick, starred Bill Moseley and Tiffany Shepis.
And that was like a really early one. That might've been a college film. He's like a Full Sail graduate.
Oh, yeah, that's a graduate from Full Sail University in 2002.
You know, he did VHS, You're Next, The Guest, which everyone loves, but he did this little one called, A Horrible Way to Die with Amy Seisman. And now I'm going to forget his name, but he was in The Sacrament. He's in Ty's first movie. Like, he just was like a guy that I'm always going to root for. And I don't really blame him. Like, I just see like these guys that I'm like, wow, that guy went from 0 to 60. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, wow, that's crazy. Yeah, because now I'm looking at the cast and the page for A Horrible Way to Die. AJ Bowen.
AJ Bowen, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Wow. I don't think I saw that.
It's a really good little movie. It's nothing like, you know.
That's crazy. So that it said that the budget for that was $75,000, and now he's gone on to...
That's like a mumblecore movie. You know what I mean? That was one of those mumblecore, you know, that whole era of that time. But then now he's making a Godzilla movie. Now, again, the weakest part of this is the plot.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if it's too much. It's like And again, I remember I'm going to point out to the guys that we always mention at least once in this podcast, but the Pint guys, when they did this Freddy vs. Jason movie, you know, I think they did a 3.5 or maybe 4 hour.
I think it's still going on.
The podcast of it.
Right.
They discussed that, which they all like. I listened to that and I gave it a score of a 7. It's a horrible movie, but aren't we there to see Freddy vs. Jason fight? And that was freaking awesome. They all gave it much lower numbers. But isn't this just that movie? And I read somewhere Adam Weingart made a perfect thing because they keep saying, because I guess now after the Snyder Cut, we're supposed to release all these extended versions, 4 hour versions.
The 24 hour of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood released this week.
Although I will dig that.
I'll watch that.
But
now that weed is legal in New York.
Yeah. And then, but with Weingart, he said, I don't have a 3 hour movie. And he's like, this movie's under 2 hours. He's like, because if I make it a 3 and a 4 hour movie, you're not getting any more Godzilla versus King Kong. You're getting more people talking about them fighting. So, like, now I just wish this was an hour TV show and it was just those guys fighting. That's 15 minutes of talking, you know, in the beginning, in the end, and maybe a little 5 minute conversation in the middle. This movie probably would have been better. Could have got rid of all of Millie right. Bobby Brown.
That's very interesting you say that, because at the beginning of the movie, I guess we were watching it, and then at one point my son was like, how long is this movie? And I was going to hit pause. I'm like, oh my God, if this is 3 hours, I'm gonna freaking burn my house down. And I saw it. I think it was like an hour and 53 minutes, and we were halfway through. I was like, hey, we're halfway through. And it was like, yeah, that was acceptable. But yeah, and to your point also, I was thinking about like those 80s era Schwarzenegger movies, you know, like Commando and Predator. I mean, Commando probably more than anything else, where it's just, here's the movie, he's going to shoot everybody. Like, they took his daughter, he has to get her back, and he has to shoot everybody. And that's the entire movie. And he meets Radong Chung and whatever, and they have, you know, whatever. And yeah, that's what this movie needed to be. It needed to be much, much tighter. Because when they fight... Right. Yeah. And I'd love to know, like, what is the motivation or what's the impetus to put in sort of all this? I don't know.
Also, it got too Star Trek-y for me.
Well,
like
yes,
the flying gadgets and all this, like
you got LED lights everywhere. Just like, so many LED lights.
That whole thing that he lived in, and like I had to explain for a half hour. I guess they were in a VR cage.
Oh right, yeah, that was yes.
Like I was just like, why couldn't he have just been like, on Skull right, Island? He walked right into a and they fell into a cave, and he discovered there's a hidden whatever this sword was. I don't know. Like I don't get this whole. You needed 16 scientists. You needed. Yeah,
there were so many extra steps.
Good actors.
And there's competing. Christine. There was also competing corporations, Monarch and the other one. And you're just kind of like, well, why? What is this going on? It was like hopscotch. The plot was like hopscotch. But yeah, it's just like, just get the two of them to fight. Who cares? Yeah, like, none of that is needed.
You know, and they sort of had a good idea. And then, I mean, if anything, there was so much plot. The minute I saw this metal Godzilla, I'm like, all right, it's really not going to be a fight between Godzilla and King Kong. You know, King Kong is going to fight Godzilla, but then they're going to team up and really destroy the thing that's...
Which was great.
Yeah.
Which was great. Like, I realized that too. And I actually said that to my son. I was worried he would get upset that King Kong got his ass beat, but he didn't even care. But I was like, hey, look, watch, they're going to team up. And that was cool. Yeah, but I don't know why, like, just get rid of all this fat, you know? And I do blame, like the Marvel Universe and the whole need to sell their products.
All this new
you
got to
mention
thing.
This and the whole, like the Star Wars universe was infected by that. One of the reasons why The Mandalorian was so great, that first season was so self-contained, it didn't matter what, like, you know, you didn't have to release the Kraken or any of that crap. And yeah, they should just get back to that. They got to get a little simpler. Because I do, for some reason, it must just be personal preference, but I do hold out hope for these like Godzilla King Kong movies. I'm like, come on, they're just monster movies. They're wrecking stuff. They could be good action movies, but they're not quite there. The less humans, the better. Like Cloverfield, as annoying as it was a dude. There it is. Those are the people running on the ground.
That might be the one reason I like out of the most recent ones, that Skull Island, because they're just on an island with a bunch. And it's like you just meet these characters.
Right.
I love that freaking Jeff Bridges one, man. Like, it's just.
It's Charles Grodin, man.
Yeah,
Charles, I was like thinking about Charles Grodin getting crushed.
It's. I don't know. There's something about that one is bad. You know, that's revered as King Kong enthusiast. That's a horrible movie. And I'm like, no, it's just that's the action movie I want.
Right,
I want Michael Keaton to be my Batman. And I want my King Kong to be with Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. And what I love about that King Kong is how bloody it gets at the end when they're shooting King Kong. All the blood things are going off. That is really great. But anyway, I guess, I mean, that's King Kong versus Godzilla or Godzilla versus Kong. Whatever. I mean, it's almost pointless to do reviews of this thing because the entire planet watched it, you know, or at least all of North America.
I mean,
America,
if anyone says this is a good or makes sense of the plot, like, I think we're all in the same page.
You can't say anything new about this. And it's also, I guess it's just a collective experience because we're still sort of in quarantine or, you know, supposed to be socially distancing. This is like a nationwide event of watching this movie. So I don't know if we add anything to it, but that's our thoughts on it. But yeah. I guess like getting away from that, we should wrap it up with... Is there anything you've been watching lately other than Godzilla versus Kong that you wanted to bring up?
I watched Crown Vic, which I really with Thomas Jane. It's on Hulu.
What is Crown Vic?
He plays a cop, and like it's just a day in the life of a cop.
Huh.
Like, you know, his like new partner, is he going to make it through the first shift or that type of movie? It's pretty generic and pretty basic, but I can watch Thomas Jane in anything.
Thomas Jane, he's definitely one of the underrated actors out there.
And I can't say that. I've been watching a lot. I've been jumping all over the place, so I don't know if it's that concrete. You know, again, I watch an episode or two of Succession a week, but I can only handle two a week. I watched all of Larry Sanders again. I just think that show is so freaking amazing. And also a little like, you know, whoa, this guy's in it, that guy's in it. You know, it's very cool to watch it like that. But yeah, no. I mean, I know I watched a bunch of news things, but I guess they don't stand out in my head.
They don't jump out. I watched yesterday the Tina Turner documentary that came out.
Oh,
that's pretty good. You know, it's kind of cool to see this lady who was, you know, beat by her husband, sort of become this huge superstar, and you know, just I don't know, she's been through it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Oh yeah.
There's so many manufactured pop stars and all that, but she was just definitely the real deal. I don't know. By the end of it, you're kind of like affected by it. You're like, oh god damn. You know, it's uplifting. That. It's uplifting. It's pretty good. Pretty quick too. And then, like I said, I've gone through, I'm now in the 7th season of Mad Men. That's really what I've been doing the last week, is just watching Mad Men pretty much around the clock. And it's a great show, I gotta say. Like, I mean, I fast forward, this is gonna sound juvenile, but when it's really kissy. There's always like, there's like long scenes of people kissing, and I just fast forward that, you know, because the dude Don Draper is like a total sex addict. But it's very interesting, you know, the whole sexual politics of the show, and it's all this stuff. Like, I don't know. It's definitely worth watching again. And I've never seen a show that could introduce characters so late. You know, you think about like The Walking Dead has like essentially an entirely new slate of characters. Yeah. And it's really obnoxious the way they do it, because, you know, it just seems cheap because they're just trying to elongate the life of their stupid franchise. But Mad Men, I mean, they're introducing characters like season 6. And they're they're totally effective. And like Harry Hamlin comes into the show from L.A. Law late into the life of Mad Men, and he's great. He's really good. And from then, I was just so impressed by performances and the writing. I immediately switched to The Wire, and I started to watch the first episode of The Wire again. Which, I mean, I've seen The Wire probably 3 times now from start to finish.
Yeah,
and that holds up too, because I was curious.
Like, no, that right, totally still, holds up, because I definitely watched that at the beginning of the pandemic.
It almost feels like it's sort of even got additional credibility at this point, because, I mean, there's no other show now doing anything remotely. You look at like AMC started with Mad Men, and HBO once upon a time had The Wire on. You look at what they have on now, and it just doesn't compare. But my God, the F-bombs. And like, now that I have kids watching The Wire, it's just like that has to be it puts Goodfellas to shame in terms of every other word is an F-bomb.
I went back and did I'm doing True Detective season 3.
Is that the one with
Mahershala Ali and Brad, or I'm always saying his name wrong, is
not
it Stephen
Dorff? Stephen Dorff. Oh yeah. Now did we talk about the Punky Brewster?
90s kid?
I watched it.
I did too.
Okay, I don't know if we talked. I know you had mentioned it, but I guess, all right, I watched it. I mean, I don't know what to say about that.
It was the 90s. I guess I was living a life a little, maybe, well, not as wild as Punky Brewster, that's for sure, but wow.
Well, yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, people just have to watch it. But it was one of those things. I mean, I don't know. You look at like the Tina Turner documentary and that woman's life story, and then like, okay, Punky Brewster, like you pretty much lucked out into getting a sitcom, and it seems like maybe, I don't know, to get residuals, you've been able to live off it your whole life, and you were kind of accidentally in front of all these famous people, even though you weren't doing anything. I don't know. I was conflicted about it.
I don't think there was a point, like, I don't know what all the footage was. I mean, it sounded like she just wanted to talk about, like, it was like a therapy session, right, but not in a sense that...
A name dropping, really, just like, here's every
here's
every famous person, because I would videotape. It kind of, like, she was paparazzi. At the end of it, I was just like, oh, she was just paparazzi, but they gave her a green light. It's like, you know, oh, wow. Wow, the cast of 90210 hung out with her back in the day, and Steven, it's just, I don't know.
Was definitely some, like, newsworthy, salacious stuff in there, but also it was like, I mean, again, I'm not knocking, you know, who she is and she is now, but it kind of is coming out like while she has a new Punky Brewster reboot.
Yeah, the whole thing is distasteful.
And it was like, I'll say this, it was weird to see. It was cool to see some of that all like back in that era. You know,
But the way she talks about it, you'd think she go through her own personal Vietnam? Are you kidding me? It's like, I had a lot of money. I went to school at NYU.
It didn't seem like that hard of a lifestyle. And it looks like she just partied the whole
week. And I did a lot of drugs. Good for you. Yeah. Like, I mean, why is that? What, are we supposed to feel sorry for you? Oh, some of my, I mean, you know, the guys from Kids all OD'd. Oh, okay. I mean, you know, here's a video of them. Do you feel sad? I don't know. There was something.
Like, there was no reason to actually make this. Again, right. I like to see some of the videos, but I didn't get the thorough connection. Like, I didn't get the documentary of this.
No, I was like, I don't feel anything for them, but she keeps trying to like push, like she has this deep thing she's trying to say, but I was like, what is it? I don't get it. Oh, there's David Arquette. David Arquette was like, I was really fucked up. Oh yeah, I was really, it's like, well, I could watch that guy all day, but Yeah, I don't know. That was the Punky Brewster documentary. I mean, God bless her, but yeah, Jesus. Bizarre. All right, that's that. So right. For I'm Carlos Danger, and that's Brian Spears, and we'll see you next time on the Mobile
Later.
R Companion.